This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/Adam. Welcome back to the Adam Schefter podcast, as we are now under 2 weeks away from the upcoming NFL draft. And to get us ready for the upcoming draft, we're going to be joined today by two top prospects. First, we'll be joined by the Washington Huskies standout wide receiver, Rome Odunze, who's coming off consecutive 1,000-yard seasons and is poised to be a top 10 pick in the upcoming NFL draft, one of what is considered to be three elite wide receiver prospects, along with Ohio State's wide receiver Marvin Harrison Jr. and LSU wide receiver Malik Nabers. Will be joined today by Washington wide receiver Rome Odunze. And then we'll also be joined by one of the great stories of the NFL draft, and wait till you hear what he has had to overcome, the cornerback Quantez Stiggers, who did not play college football, but instead played in the Canadian Football League, was named the league's Rookie of the Year after a 5-interception season, and he will join us today to tell his story as he gets ready to begin his NFL journey. But before we get to Rome Odunze, before we get to Quantez Stiggers, first, I want to get to the quarterback of the Weekly Six-Pack, the man who is the co-host of the Fantasy Focus podcast, my friend, my colleague, Daniel Dopp, for this week's Six-Pack.
Thank you very much for that, Adam Schefter. First things first, buddy. This is like, we're close. We're close. Draft week is right around the corner. I think you said earlier this year that maybe free agency was the busiest week of your season. Where does draft week fall into that for Adam Schefter? Like, how busy are you over draft week?
I consider draft week to be the third busiest time of the year. Number one, without question, is free agency. That sure. 2 week stretch or so, maybe 3 week stretch now, maybe a month stretch. The other time is, I think, right at the end of the season when you're having the season end. Teams are firing coaches, hiring coaches, and we have double and triple pregame shows on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights for the playoff games. Also busy for a couple of weeks there. That is hectic and very much time-consuming. But this is right there, probably the third busiest week of the year in my mind. The draft, lots of interest, lots of speculation, lots of potential storylines. So it would rank third to me, Daniel Dopp.
All right, well, here's my question then. Let's dive right in talking about the draft. Topic number one for the six-pack. I feel like you've been at the draft for a while now, every single year for the last, I don't know how many years. Is this one of those things where the NFL has seen an increase in attendance? Are they finding ways to monetize this or get people out there to be a part of this? How is the NFL draft perceived?
Well, here's the thing. What we've noticed with the college prospects in attendance. For a while, it was a small group of players that was invited. Then it increased to where we got a lot of players invited. And this year was the first year, Daniel, where it seemed like the NFL scaled back on some of the players invited. This year, there's scheduled to be 13 players who are going to attend the draft in Detroit. Terrion Arnold, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison Jr., J.C. Latham, Leatu Latu, Drake May, Quinyon Mitchell, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Darius Robinson, Brian Thomas Jr., Dallas Turner, and Caleb Williams, all scheduled to attend. Some players didn't even entertain the idea. And I think we're running into an area here where if players don't feel like they're getting paid, why should they come for their draft night? Now, Detroit is not overly difficult to get to, but next year's draft is in Green Bay. Next year, it may be, I think, for the NFL, even more challenging to lure top prospects away from where they would watch the draft, celebrate the draft, be with their friends and family, to get them to go on connecting flights to go to Green Bay, unless the league is going to start paying these players for the TV production that is the NFL draft. So this, I think we're at a little bit of a crossroads. Just like in college football, NIL money has begun to infiltrate the sport and change the way it's approached. I think we're at a similar spot in the draft where you're going to see some diminishing attendance unless these guys start getting paid. Just my two cents. I could be totally wrong. Maybe the players will keep coming. But with players learning that they have to get paid in college, I don't think that that's going to just stop and be like, yeah, we'll do the NFL a favor and we'll just show up and give up one of the biggest nights of our life. I think that that's changing. And I think a draft in Green Bay may be something of a tipping point next year.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned it because Detroit is like an international hub, very easy airport to fly into and fly out of. I don't know what you do there in Green Bay. It's a totally different situation there. So, yeah. Also, I can only imagine, too, as you get into this situation, you're probably having more and more people saying, especially if, like you're talking about, if I'm not getting paid for this, there's not a reason that I need to be here. This might be one of the most impactful nights of my life. I want to be in my home with my family, with my parents. Do you know what I mean?
We've seen and heard that before, and I think it's gone that way this year. Some of the players didn't even entertain an invitation. They're going to be more likely to entertain an invitation next year when the draft is in Green Bay?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Not sure about that. All right. Topic number two in this one, Adam Schefter. There is a bunch of positions that I feel like we have a lot at the top of the draft. Really nice skill positions, a bunch of quarterbacks, a bunch of wide receivers. We've seen the offensive line. Are there any positions that you think we're going to see a run on in the draft, the upcoming draft?
The one place, Daniel, that I think you're going to see a ton of people taken at the top of the draft and the back end of the draft are the offensive linemen. I think they are going to be one of the least sexy but most important storylines in the first round of the NFL draft. We are going to see what I expect to be almost a record number of offensive linemen taken in the first round of this draft. We're looking, Daniel, I think, at potentially a near record number of offensive linemen. You look at the tackles in this draft: Joe Alt, Olu Fashanu, J.C. Latham, Talise Fuaga, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, all potential first-round picks. That's six tackles right there. Troy Fautanu as a guard, Jordan Morgan as a guard. That's potentially two more. Graham Barton as a center guard. That's nine offensive linemen potentially in the first round of the draft. And I think you're going to see a run on offensive linemen. There are a ton of teams that need them. It's almost as if way more teams need them than not. And so offensive linemen, to me, is going to be one of the biggest storylines in the first round of this draft. You're going to see a lot of teams looking to plug those holes early. It's going to go on all through the first round. There's some good depth at those interior line positions later. And again, that to me is going to be one of the central storylines in this upcoming draft.
All right, Adam Schefter, topic number three in this week's six pack. Let's talk about a continually developing story. The Rashee Rice situation. What is it that we know so far? What is it that we think potentially could happen? What do fans need to prepare for with Rashee Rice?
Well, first of all, there's a legal process that has to play itself out. He's facing one count of aggravated assault, one count of collisions involving serious bodily injury, six counts of collision involving injury. He's obviously being sued now for $1 million by somebody that got hit by the two crash victims here in this particular case. So there's lawsuits, there's legal cases, and there's potential NFL discipline. Now, listen, he's hired a prominent attorney to handle his case and to try to get him what he believes is justice in this particular case. But beyond that, he is absolutely going to be facing discipline from the National Football League no matter what happens. He's going to be facing a multi-game suspension. So that's if the legal process plays itself out in a favorable way, which we don't even know how that's going to happen. So the bottom line is there are a lot of questions about Rashee Rice, his future with the Chiefs, his future in football, whether or not he'd be available this season, how much he'd be available this season. Obviously, it's a total sticky, complicated, messy situation with legal ramifications, with discipline ramifications. And now from a football standpoint, the Chiefs already were shorthanded at wide receiver. Last year, they led the NFL in drop passes. Now you're looking at a team that's potentially looking at the loss of Rashee Rice. You're looking at the fact that they did add Marquise Hollywood Brown, but they needed help anyway, and now they could be without the wide receiver that is their top wide receiver this season.
Yeah, and this one I think is really interesting because you mentioned a multi-game suspension. I wouldn't be doing my job, Adam, if I didn't at least ask you this question. Multi-game suspension can be anything from 2 games to, you're talking double digits, you know, 10 plus. I realize that you got to wait and see the way that the legal situation plays out. Is there a situation, though, where you could potentially see Rashee Rice playing less than maybe half the games this year? I mean, could you see him missing more of the season than playing more of the season?
Again, the investigations are ongoing, both from a legal standpoint and from the league standpoint, and we'll see. The only thing I feel comfortable in saying is that he's going to be unavailable for the Chiefs for a certain number of games.
Gotcha.
It could be, in my mind, a minimum of 2. It could be way more than that. Could be the season. We just don't know yet. There's a lot that has to be answered, but the Chiefs have to brace for the fact that they are going to be without Rashee Rice for some number of games this season. And it could potentially be more than we think right now.
All right, then. Topic number 4, Adam Schefter, that leads us right into this. If the Chiefs, who were already shorthanded at wide receiver last year, now lose the guy that was their number one pass catcher on the season, like you mentioned, they didn't add Hollywood Brown. Is there another option that they could look at in free agency to add to their wide receiver core right now?
Well, you know, the interesting name that's out there right now is Odell Beckham Jr. But you know what's interesting about that? Here's the issue there. Who's Odell Beckham Jr. dating, Daniel Dopp? I don't mean to go all Hollywood access on you, but who's he dating?
Well, is he dating one of the Kardashians? Are they still dating?
The word on the street, and again, I'll try to stick to football and veer off here, but it sounds like he's been dating Kim Kardashian for a little bit. Well, who's Travis Kelce dating?
Taylor Swift.
Right. Now, again, my daughter knows this. My 15-year-old daughter knows this a lot better than I do. But isn't there something out there where Kim Kardashian and Taylor Swift don't exactly enjoy each other's company? There's a big beef between the two of them right now. Isn't that the way we understand it to be?
Yeah.
A big beef between Kim K and Taylor S, right? So if that is the case, Daniel, and one of the top free wide receivers out there is Odell Beckham Jr., if you're the Chiefs, you have to consider that there would be two dominant personalities, female personalities, that don't necessarily coexist, that have what one person described as a big beef between the two of them. Can't do it. They can't sign Odell Beckham Jr. And I'll tell you this, they have talked to him in recent years. He has approached them. They have approached him. There have been conversations between those two particular parties, but
interesting.
Can't go anywhere this year for a lot of reasons. Not the least of which is the big beef that exists between Kim Kardashian and Taylor. Who would have thought?
I feel like this is one of those things. We got to have a sit down, right? We got to have like an
intervention.
Dinner. Exactly. Something to be able to bring everybody together. Oh, that's so good. All right. Topic number 5, Adam Schefter. I think I saw news that Devontae Smith is signing an extension with the Philadelphia Eagles. I think you put that out on X a little bit earlier today. I want to ask you, what do you make of this? I mean, he's still so young. I don't believe he even made it to his 5th year for his rookie deal yet. So what do we take from the Eagles deciding they want to extend Devontae Smith?
To me, I look at it this way. This is going to be the offseason of wide receiver deals. We should see new deals, huge deals, for Justin Jefferson, for CD Lamb, for Ja'Marr Chase, maybe for Brandon Ayuk, maybe for T. Higgins. There are a lot of wide receiver deals, Jalen Waddle, that have to go out. So the Eagles, rather than wait for the market to go up, they set the market and go out and get Devonta Smith signed. Devonta Smith signed to a 3-year, $75 million extension with $51 million guaranteed, so that no matter how much the price goes up, and it's going to go up on some of these guys, the Eagles have their wide receiver locked in. This is what the Eagles always have done. It used to be this practice started under their former executive, Joe Banner. I remember him signing a bunch of their cornerbacks, great cornerbacks like Troy Vincent back in the day, to long-term deals. And they were so ahead of the market that by the time the guys got to the middle of their deals, they were way underpaid and they wanted new deals already. But because the Eagles were so out in front of it, that was the way that they did their business. And it almost feels like it's that way again, that they know where this wide receiver market is headed. They're getting out in front of it. They're setting the terms that they want to pay. And now whenever these other huge wide receiver deals get done, and they will be big, Philly doesn't have to worry because it's got Devontae Smith under contract here for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, my Detroit Lions have Amon-Ra St. Brown that they got to lock up.
Another one, by the way. That's another one. Yeah. Okay, I forgot about him. But that's another wide receiver. Again, it's the offseason of the big wide receiver deal. Philly doesn't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah, it is a good day to be a wide receiver, Adam Schefter. All right, let's talk about this. Topic number six, speaking of being a wide receiver, we got a boatload of good wide receivers in the upcoming 2024 NFL draft, Adam. Talk to me about the wide receiver rankings for this, because it is a very deep wide receiver class.
We mentioned at the outset of this podcast that there are considered to be three elite wide receiver prospects: Marvin Harrison Jr. from Ohio State, Malik Nabers from LSU, and Rome Odunze, who will be our guest here in a moment, from Washington. And I've spoken to teams, and the more I speak to them, the more I hear great love and admiration for Malik Nabers from LSU. He seems to be, from the teams I've spoken to, the top-rated wide receiver. Now, I will say there's a lot of love for all of these wide receivers, including Rome Odunze from Washington. But Nabers, they think, is like a stick of dynamite, just highly explosive, a Tyreek Hill version of a wide receiver, somebody that they'd like to get in their offense to see what he can do. And we'll see how they come off the board in Detroit on the night of the draft. But I do believe that all three of these wide receivers will be picked within the top 10 picks of the draft, because this is one of the strengths of this draft, the three wide receivers. And that takes us, of course, Daniel, into our first conversation with the Washington Huskies standout wide receiver, Rome Odunze. Hello there, Rome. How you doing?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
How do we feel with this draft coming up? Are we all ready or what?
Oh, man, I'm feeling great. Yeah, feeling blessed and very, very grateful. So, absolutely.
What has this whole process been like for you?
Oh, it's been fun. I mean, you know, it has its challenges just because you know, flying around the country, you know, it's harder to just stay in one spot and be able to train all the time. But it's been fun for me. Like, training for the combine was really fun. You know, going to the combine was really fun. Meeting with teams, like, it's all like a unique experience. So for me, like, you know, there is a lot of, you know, things that you like, damn, I got to do this. But it's like, you take it all with a grain of salt, just because, you know, it's the one time you're doing this. Like, this is a dream come true. So, yeah.
What's been the coolest part about it? Because you probably get to meet some really cool people that maybe you've seen in football before. Is there somebody that you met that left a mark with you, or a moment you had that stayed with you during this process, Rome?
You know, I did meet Mike Tomlin. I mean, I know that I like the Steelers. I don't know where their pick is, but it was just kind of cool to meet Mike Tomlin. Like, my mom was a big fan of him. My pops, I think, is a big fan of him. So, like, you know, he's been a black coach in the NFL for a long time doing his thing. So it was cool to meet him in person, because I feel like I really see him on TV a lot. So I would say him.
Let me say this, Rome. If you were available at Pittsburgh's turn, they would turn in the card as soon as they possibly could. There is next to no chance that you're going to be available when Pittsburgh's turn comes up at about number 20 or so. No chance that you're going to be there. No chance.
I figured that. Yeah, but we'll see. You never know.
Now, a lot of people are talking about you and Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers as three elite wide receiver prospects. I'm curious how you would compare yourselves to those wide receivers in this upcoming draft.
Yeah, I think I'm wide receiver one in this upcoming draft. And, you know, that's not, you know, a knock at any of the receivers in the draft, including those two. I think they're, you know, tremendously talented, tremendously skilled. But for me, I just think I bring a skill set, bring a mindset that is unmatched. And I think, you know, on film, you can see that through my combine performances, through, you know, the team interviews. I feel like I'm just a little bit different. But you know, that's not to say that those guys aren't skilled, though. You know what I mean? Like, the wide receiver class is so deep. Like, it's amazing to see, you know, how many great wide receivers are coming into this draft. And I'm like, man, you know, any team would be blessed to have any of us. So just super grateful to, you know, be mentioned as one of the top. But for me, I see myself as number one.
And what is your biggest on-field strength room as what you say is wide receiver one?
Right. I would just say the completeness and the versatility of my game. You know, I think a lot of wide receivers try and say that, but for me, I think on film, it really comes to fruition. Like, I can play outside, I can play inside, you know, I can contest the catch, I can create separation, you know, across the field, I can block, you know what I mean? I can come out of the backfield on a route. Like, for me, the versatility and the completion of my route tree and my receiver game as a whole is unmatched.
You know what I've heard about you from teams, front offices?
What's that?
You're the cleanest, safest prospect in this draft.
Yeah. I mean, I like that. I think, you know, cleanest and safest is cool, but I feel like cleanest and safest comes as like a connotation is like, you know, I'm a solid player, but I don't have any of the off the field issues. Like, for me, I'm like, I'm the best player and I don't have any off the field like issues. Like, I'm the best pick. Like, safest, cleanest is cool, but, you know, I understand what they're trying to say.
And did you get a chance to spend much time and get to know Marvin Harrison Jr. or Malik Nabers at the Combine or even prior to that?
No, not too much, honestly. Got to meet Malik at the Combine and Marvin. He seemed to have come a little bit later. So I got to chop it up with him a little bit. Plus, we ended up going to the Giants. All three of us were at the Giants visit together. Yeah. So that
all
was
all three
that
at
was
the
fun.
Same time, right?
Yeah, at the same time. Yeah.
So what stands out about that?
I think, you know, it was impressive to me just because, you know, the Giants want to see, you know, all of us in the same room and how we, you know, interact with one another when, you know, a lot of top receivers are in the same room. That's kind of how it's going to be when we go to a team, right? There's already going to be great receivers there. So it was a unique experience. And, you know, they're great dudes. Like, you know, I got nothing against them, you know, the way that they carry themselves and the way, you know, their football knowledge is tremendous as well. So it was awesome to be able to, you know, talk with them a little bit while we had the time and see, you know, how much they knew about football. And they definitely know a lot. So it was awesome. I liked it.
They take you to dinner together, all three of you? Is it like that?
Yeah, they did. When we landed, we had went to dinner. So, yeah, we went to dinner when we landed. But, yeah, it was good. It's good.
Now, let's go back to your early days at Washington for a moment. You all go right there, and the team is 4-8. And two seasons later, you're in the national championship game. How do you help a team go from 4-8 to national championship contender?
Right. I think it was, you know, it was a conglomerate of people in the locker room and the attitude that we had together. But I feel like my role in that was just maintaining an optimistic mindset, you know, even through the 4-8 seasons, even through the COVID season. Like, it was always my expectation to go win a national championship. And, you know, I know that sounds, you know, kind of like a dramatic you know, exaggeration of what I believe, you know, going 4-8, like you're like, you expect to win a national championship, but that's truly what I believe. And I feel like, you know, we were on the process of getting those things done and just continuing to work hard, maintain the culture of the locker room, understanding that, you know, there was more work to be put in and there was more opportunity to make big plays, you know, coming up. So just training for those moments and reliving those moments in your head, I feel like was all part of it, maintaining the culture. And then, you know, when it was time to go, it just came naturally.
Now, also early during your time in Washington, you crossed paths with Puka Nacua. What do you remember about that and him?
Oh, I remember a lot about Puka. Puka was one of my mentors when I first got to UW. So he was, you know, a tremendous influence on me, just seeing his work ethic, just seeing how he interacted with all his teammates, like, you know, not even football wise, but culturally wise, the way he was, you know, friendly with everybody and, you know, said hello to everybody in the building when I was around him. Like, that's who Puka Nacua is. And, you know, his play speaks for itself. Like, you know, he's a dog. Like, he goes and gets it, you know, regardless of where the football's at. His tracking skills are amazing. His strength, his speed, like he's a great wide receiver. So when I seen those combinations of things, I was like, okay, like, you know, you can do both. You can be, you know, great person, great player, and look like, you know, that leads to success. So I kind of followed his footsteps.
So when you see him stand out the way that he did during his rookie year, does that just reaffirm to you that you are going to be this great wide receiver in the National Football League?
Yeah, I think so. I think my skills definitely translate very, very fluidly. You know, of course, I got to go out there and do it. You know, I can't say I'm gonna go out there and you know, have the season that Puka did, even though that is my goal and that is something I want to go do. But you know, I still got to go do it. And you know, for me, there's no point of, you know, talking about it. You know, it's just about walking the walk. So yeah, I'd like to think so, just because I come from, you know, similar. Sort of football background from him and the success that he was able to have. But, you know, every situation is different. So I'd hope to emulate some of that in my rookie career for sure.
And I want one more question about Washington before I begin to look ahead to the NFL. What does it feel like to play with a collapsed lung and a fractured rib and have to drive back from Arizona to get back to Washington to play 2 weeks later,
right,
and come up with 100 yards and 2 touchdowns against Oregon? How do you do that?
You know, I think it was just my mindset. You know, I was as soon as it had happened to me, I was already planning, like, you know, I was going to play in a couple weeks. So I knew that I had a bye week. So as I was sitting in the hospital, I was like, OK, how can I get back on this flight? Like, that was my first thing I was thinking about. Like, how can I get back on this flight? So I fly back with my teammates. And then after I figured out I couldn't do that, it was just like, OK, I got a week to get right, you know, like to make sure my body's okay to go for that Oregon game. So I think it was my mindset really that carried me through. When you start like that, I feel like, you know, your goal is set. And once my goal is set, you know, I'm determined to go get it.
Just curious, what does it feel like to have a collapsed lung, Rome?
It feels like death. I can't lie. It really does. That was the closest I ever felt. Like, I was like dying because, you know, it's in your chest. Like, you don't, I don't know where my organs and everything is at. Like, I don't know how it all works. So when you just have that like sharp pain and you can't breathe, like, it's just like, it just feels like, you know, something you've never felt before. So for me, it was terrible. I was like laying down on the floor. I was telling the trainers, I was like, nah, like something's not right. Something's not right. And something was not right. but yeah, it feels terrible.
And no after effects today, right? Completely fine, ready to go. Oh, the whole thing, like, right?
Yeah, it all healed up perfectly. So, yep.
Let's look ahead. Are there any cornerbacks that you're looking forward to going against in the National Football League, Rome?
Definitely. I've told people, Jalen Ramsey and Surtain. I really think, you know, those are some of the best in the league, as well as Trent McDuffie, who's my old teammate. So those three, I think, would be awesome to go against. Just because I think, you know, a lot of people regard them as the best in the league right now. So I feel like their ability to you know, blanket receivers, you know, on a consistent basis is very interesting to me, and something that I would love to be able to, you know, have a challenge like that. And also Trent, because, you know, he's a dog, you know, and he's, I mean, to me, he's right up there with the other two as well. A little younger, but man, I remember him, you know, reps against him in practice. So I'm trying to run those back.
Well, has he given you any advice about what to expect here in the coming weeks and this upcoming season?
Yeah, he did. He was actually, I think, one of the first persons to tell me to make sure I was training, for rookie minicamp, because he said that rookie minicamp kind of jumped on him quick. So he was like, man, make sure you stay in shape for rookie minicamp so we can stay healthy going to your rookie year. I was like, okay. And then after he told me that, like, man, like every person I've interacted with in the NFL tells me that. So, yeah.
What is an NFL team going to be getting in Michael Penix, your college teammate?
Oh, man. What's they going to be getting from Michael Penix is a baller. I think he continuously – thank you, man. He's continuously fought through adversity his entire career. You know, is a tremendous leader, like exactly what you want in a quarterback. A tremendous leader and a hell of a football player. And that's on and off the field, I think, his leadership. You know, in the moments you can see in the Oregon game when he was spitting and he was, you know, encouraging his team. And then he's the same way in the locker room. You know, he's a going guy that has a lot of fun, but it holds you accountable and, you know, you have a lot of fun with. So I think he has the best arm talent in the draft. And I think any team is going to be lucky to have him for sure. How you doing, man?
By the way, where are you? Like, we're walking around, we're going places, we're in different rooms.
I'm on the move, man. I'm on the move. I just landed in LA, so I'm on the move.
You've been on the move for weeks now, right?
Yeah, it's
it's been kind of crazy. So I've been going from city to city for a while now. So,
you know, Rome, this might be one of the first podcasts I've been on like this journey with somebody, as they go from through wherever you were walking through buildings into a car outside. Like,
I know,
you know, you got no time here to sit down and stop. You got places to go and people to meet with.
I know. It's like, I'm like a streamer. I'm like a streamer streaming my life for y'all right now. It's a 2-in-1 answering the question. Plus get the sneak peek in my life.
Is there any one place that you have been in recent weeks that stood out to you there? Like, I'd like to go spend more time here.
Honestly, no. I mean, that I think everywhere that I've been has been honestly an awesome spot, like great people, great facilities, you know, great training staff as well. So there's nowhere that's been like stood out to me, but I've been impressed with pretty much everywhere I've gone, honestly.
And I know you mentioned Pittsburgh, that it'd be nice to go there. Your mom loves Mike Tomlin, but do you have any sense or any expectation of a place that you would like to be that's more realistic than Pittsburgh?
Oh man, I think, you know, anywhere in the top 10, honestly, like I would be, you know, okay with. I'd love to, you know, solidify myself as a top five pick, but I think that, you know, there's a lot of places in the top 10 that have, you know, desirable locations with good quarterbacks and good situations. So for me at this point, it's just about finding the right fit and going somewhere that truly wants me and that I truly want to go to as well. You know, and the rest will kind of take care of itself.
And what are the places you've visited so far besides from New York?
I've visited both New York, so New York Jets and Giants, Cardinals and Chicago Bears.
All four possible destinations there, Rome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? Like they're all four in play. No preference over those four teams?
Nah, definitely not. I think, you know, like I said, I was impressed with all of them when I visited, and I think that they all provide different elements, but also, like, all have tremendous people. And, you know, that's something that I like to keep my eye out for is, you know, people that look like they're trying to grow and look like they're trying to, you know, have a lot of success. And all those organizations have those. So
last question for you, Roman. I appreciate the time today. Thank you very much. And a lot of people have asked this, but can you give me the origination of your first name, Rome, and where it came from?
Yeah, my name is Rome, R-O-M-E. I get it from my father. He gave it to me. He's a big fan of he's just a big history buff. He's a big fan of history, and he liked the Roman Empire. I mean, just because, you know, what they were able to do and, you know, the influence that they had on the world. So, yeah, he gave it to me.
And do you hear a lot of comments about it growing up? Like, did people like it, mock you for it? Like, what was it like growing up with the name Rome? Because it's certainly a unique name.
Yeah, I know. I loved it. I think people give me compliments on it. I don't think I've ever been mocked before. People mess it up a lot. Like, they think my name is Jerome or Romeo or something like that. But it's just wrong.
Roma Dunze, right?
Yep, that's right.
Very cool name.
Yeah. No, it's solid. I like it.
Hey, Rome, I want to thank you very much for taking the time. And thank you for taking us on the journey, wherever the hell you're going in Los Angeles. Where are you going now?
I'm going to do some marketing stuff. I don't know where I'm going right now. I'm trying to figure it out. So after this call, I have to figure it out.
Well, go figure it out. Lots of luck in the upcoming draft. Appreciate the time today. And thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
Not going to lie, got a little tired listening to Roma Dunze running around from place to place. We started on camera. Like, it looked like he was walking through a production studio. He came outside. He went into a car. He got in the car. And finally, I'm like, where are you going, Rome? And I think he was shooting some kind of commercial for whatever he was doing for this upcoming draft. But he's got a lot going on right now. He's going to be a top pick. And again, very interesting that when I brought up that clean, safe pick to him, he didn't necessarily view it as a compliment, even though I know teams are highly impressed with his character. I meant it to be a compliment about his character. I'm not sure that he took it that way. Either way, Roma Dunze going to go in the top 10 picks of this draft, and we'll see exactly how high it goes. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We all carry around different stressors. I do, you do, we all do, big, small. And when we keep them bottled up, as I sometimes have had happen in the past, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Adam today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Adam. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any eight-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature eight-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza, better because it has to be. All right, now we go on to, like I said, one of the great stories of this NFL draft. Cornerback Quantez Stiggers, who visited 13 teams altogether in his pre-draft process, did not play college football. Played in the Canadian Football League, where he won the Rookie of the Year after he had 5 interceptions. And we will let him share his story with us. But wait till you hear the story of Quantez Stiggers. Every trip. So where am I catching you today, Quantez?
You catching us leaving the field.
Where?
We was working out at Duncan Park in Fairburn. Fairburn, Georgia.
Georgia, okay. And I see you got your Seattle Seahawks shirt on.
Yeah, they had gave it when I went on the visit, so I just wore it to the workout.
Very nice. Okay, so Quantez, I want to read something to you, and I'm sure all your siblings in the car know about it, but tell me if I have my facts and information correct, okay?
Yes, sir.
Your father gets into a single car accident, unfortunately, tragically, in February of 2020.
Yes, sir.
Shortly before you graduate from high school and you go to college in August 2020.
Yes, sir.
He passed away in September of 2020, which caused you to drop out so you could be a father figure close to your mom. You have 13 total siblings, including your step-siblings.
Yes,
sir. You begin working job to job, DoorDash, Instacart, cleaning cars at the airport. And in 2022, your mother is scrolling Facebook, sees a link to join the fan-controlled football league. She signs you up. You play there for a year. You win runner-up defensive player of the year, so the Canadian Football League Toronto Argonauts call, offer you a contract. You go there for a year and win rookie of the year. NFL teams hear about it. They want to sign you to a futures contract. The league says you have to declare for the draft, which you do. You participate in the Shrine Bowl. You visit the Seahawks. You work out here in Georgia. And now we're getting ready to be drafted. Is my information on there, Quantez?
Everything correct, man. I've been on 10 visits. I still got 3 more to go. 3 more to go.
Where we been so far? But before we get to the visits, the 10 visits and the 3 more, tell me a little bit, what stands out about the journey that I described to you when you hear all of those stops, all that information, all the obstacles, all the adversity, all the challenges that you've had to overcome to get to where you are today, to visit 10 NFL teams, to be scheduled to visit 3 more, and to be drafted here in this upcoming draft?
So it really just means that the way I handle adversity is really good. Going through my depression, it kind of makes you grow up a little bit. It kind of shows like who's with you and who's not with you. Because a lot of people thought I was crazy when I dropped out of school, and well, I have receipts of people saying like, "Oh, you should have stayed in school," or "You should have did this, then the third." So I feel like I had to grow up a lot, especially when I had my son, and then especially being like the main provider of the household. So yeah, just maturing and just overcoming my obstacles and adversity.
Now, which college did you drop out of? Where were you supposed to play football there?
So I got recruited to Lane College in Jackson, Tennessee as an athlete.
And so it wasn't even as a football player.
No, sir. It was as a so I was a football player. In high school, I played quarterback, receiver, kicker. I played every position. So when Lane came, because I had committed to Reinhardt University for defensive back, but then Lane offered me a scholarship as an athlete. So when I got up there, the first we had like one workout before I went home. We was doing 7-on-7. I was playing receiver and I was playing DB.
When you drop out of college, Lane College, and you go to help your mom and all your siblings, and I assume your child, how old is your child, Quantes?
He just turned two.
He just turned two. Is that your only child?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so you got your own son, right, or daughter?
I got a son.
Okay, so you got your own son, your 13 total siblings. You got a lot of people to look out for, including your mom. What was the most difficult part of dropping out and working all those jobs at that station in your life?
I would say really just the battle with myself, because like my dream growing up was to go to school, you know, do the normal route, go to school, go to college, then try to go to the NFL. But then what I say, well, I'm big on delay isn't denial. So basically, like, if you put someone on delay, that doesn't mean you're going to be denied in the future.
Delay isn't denial. How'd you come up with that? I like that.
I seen it on Facebook, and it's just been sticking with me.
It's a good motto to go by.
Yes, sir.
Now, you did mention something about depression. What was the where was the point in this that you were battling depression?
Probably it started the day when he passed, and then it probably stuck with me probably for like 3 or 4 months where I didn't come out of the house, just eating a lot, and really just being distanced from the world, honestly.
What got you out of it?
Just opening up, like knowing that because I feel like as men, we're supposed to give off like alpha male vibes. Like, you're supposed to be this tough. You can only show two emotions, sad and happiness. But just talking to my mom and fiance, they kind of opened me up to talk about what I was going through and kind of helped me check out my depression.
And what did you learn about yourself through this process, Quantes?
Oh, man. I learned that being patient, man. Like, whatever you do in life, if you don't see results right away, you got to be patient. And it also shows you that people might say they're with you, but in reality, some people don't be with you. Like showing fake love and showing fake hands and stuff like that.
You know, I'll bet you there's a lot of Quantes Stiggers out there that are waiting for an opportunity, that are denied, that have to look after their family. What would you tell people who will hear about your story, where it will serve as some form of inspiration? What would you tell them about persevering and getting through some of the challenges that they face in their own lives?
Yeah, I will say my biggest thing is chase your dream, because they told me I couldn't. And then another thing I would say is, because for a minute I thought people felt bad for me because my dad passed. But once reality hits, the world's still going to revolve. So I say, like, nobody feels bad for you. Like, it don't matter what you go through, how many obstacles you hit in life, nobody feels bad for you. They might feel bad for you when it happened, but the next day, they're going to be going to work and living a normal life.
You know, I'm thinking about you dropping out and going up to do all these jobs and going up to Canada, right? What was it like to go to Canada at the age that you were? How old were you when you went to Toronto?
I was 21.
And what was that like for you?
Oh, man, it was hard. Just dealing with like a little anxiety, missing my son and my fiance now. Cause like when I'm at home, like my fiance take care of all the responsibilities, like, you know, cleaning the house, washing dishes, washing clothes. So when I got up to Canada, I had to call her like, hey, what setting do I put the clothes on? And at what type of dish detergent do I buy? And how long do I supposed to keep the chicken in the oven for? So that was kind of hard. And then like, I feel like going up to Canada, I took a risk. I had just got my refund, my refund from the IRS. Cause training camp up there, they don't pay you for training camp. So I went up there, May, then I took a gamble, took a risk, and it paid off. Cause some people thought like you get paid. I mean, you go out there, you get paid, then third. And it's not like that. You got to go up there and show that you can ball at a high level.
So Toronto Argonauts offer you a contract, but it's not guaranteed. So you have to pay for your own way to Toronto and use your tax refund to finance that little trip up there?
So they paid for my flight, but they didn't pay for my bills back home. I still had, because me and my fiance and my son, we all live together in a townhouse in Atlanta. So I'm having to pay bills down here. And then when I made the team, I had to pay bills down here and up in Canada, like, cause I had got a phone bill and then I had my credit card and then I just groceries and stuff and probably buy jackets when it get cold, socks and stuff like that.
And it was cold up there, right?
Yes, sir.
In Atlanta, yeah.
I feel like I missed the cold. It got cold with like the last 2 weeks, but we ended up losing the Eastern final, so I had a chance to go home.
I asked you about those jobs, DoorDash, Instacart, cleaning cars. What was the toughest job that you had during the time that you dropped out of college before you headed up to Canada?
I would say probably washing cars at the airport. I was getting paid minimum wage, and then I think I was getting paid like $8.50. And then it was like you get like a 60 cent per car, each car you wash. So I was just doing, because it was like you get in the car, you vacuum it, and then you drive it through a car wash, you park it, and then you do it, you keep doing it all day. And I was doing that for 8 to 10 hours a day.
Wow. Tired when you got home?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Can you imagine all these jobs, you get making minimum wage, and you're about to go be drafted by an NFL team, sign an NFL contract? How high do we think we're going in the draft, Quantes?
Man, I wanna go day two. Like, I feel like my abilities can put me on day two, but at the end of the day, the thing I'm big on is control what you can't control. If you can't control it, you got to pray for it. So I know God going to work in my favor. Even if I don't get drafted, I'll be blessed with the opportunity to be signed as an undrafted free agent or a priority free agent.
And you know what happens if you don't go day two?
Day three.
Delay isn't denial.
Yes, sir.
Delay isn't denial. So we go day three. So by the way, let's just say you go day two or three. You get your contract, your rookie contract. What will that mean to you to make more than minimum wage?
It'll mean the world to me, man, because I'm big on family. So I feel like as long as my family is taken care of, as long as my brothers, my stepdad, my mom, my fiance, and my son taken care of, and my sisters, then I don't really got to worry about anything else. Like, because I know them the people who've been with me through thick and thin.
Somebody's got to turn this into a story, a movie, Quantes.
Yeah, it's a docu-series coming out called Finding the Underdog, and it's basically just telling, like, my life story and stuff like that.
So you've had camera crews following you all around to all these visits and training sessions and...
Not the visits. I had them they was at East West with me, and then we had, like, a little family out, and they recorded it, and then they recorded a couple of my workouts, and then they recorded my mom on the 19th for the draft, and then they're recording us for the draft.
So you visited 10 teams. What has been the question that people have been most curious about with the story that you have now?
A lot of people ask me, like, what made you go back into football? And I tell them that, like, football has always been I feel like I need football to survive. Like, football, like, it's in my veins. And then, like, just going through that depression, like, I can take my anger out when I'm on a football field. You can't take it out in real life because you can go to jail.
Don't do that.
No, sir.
Don't do that. So you visited 10 teams so far. Where have you been? What has stood out about those visits before we get into the final three? Where have you been and what has stood out?
I've been to Detroit, Houston, Miami, New York Jets, Baltimore Ravens, Denver Broncos, Minnesota Vikings, Seattle Seahawks, Kansas City Chiefs, and then the Arizona Cardinals. And then on my next trip, which is on the 14th, I go to Indianapolis, the Buffalo Bills, and then the Cincinnati Bengals.
And do you have a preference here as to where you would like to be drafted at all?
Not really, nah. I really just want the opportunity. It don't matter where it could be.
So, I mean, will your family be coming? Will everybody be coming? Siblings, mom, who's coming with you to your new NFL city?
So all my brothers are in school, so it'll just be my fiance and my son.
Okay, and your mom's staying behind?
Yes, sir.
And she's in Atlanta?
Yes, sir.
And where will you be watching the draft, Quantes?
At home. I might be working out because I'm so nervous.
Are you? Why are you nervous?
Because I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know where I'm moving to next.
Can you imagine when you get the call that night, whether it's day two or three, and somebody calls you to say, Quantez, welcome to our team. Welcome to our city. What will be going through your mind if you had to guess when you get a call from your new head coach or new general manager?
It's going to be a sense of like, Dad, I did it. And I might cry, like, because it's just like, it's been a lifelong dream. So getting your card, getting your name called on draft day is like, it's like almost surreal.
Will you be thinking of your dad that night?
Yes, sir.
And what will you be thinking about him that night, Quantez?
Dad, we did it. We did it. We done been through so much, and we finally did it. We finally came and did and finally accomplished our dream.
And the cameras will be there rolling, right? Like, they're going to get it all. So we're going to get to see this one day, Quantez, right?
Yes, sir.
I look forward to getting on ESPN that second or third night to tell the story of Quantez Stiggers and the moment you get drafted, because it's going to be an awesome moment. And there are going to be a lot of people pulling for you to go where you want, when you want, and have this work out how you want.
Yes, sir.
And we appreciate your time today, sharing your story. We wish you the very best in the upcoming draft and your NFL career.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Quantez, good luck. So, Daniel, I know every one of these prospects has his own story that he brings to the draft, but it is hard not to hear the story of Quantez Stiggers and not root for this guy next week when the draft is held. I want this guy to go high. I want him to be successful. I want him to be able to take care of his family, his 13 siblings, and overcome everything that he's had to get through to get to this point. So we are pulling and rooting for Quantez Stiggers.
Absolutely. I am totally with you on that, Adam. How cool is it, by the way, that on the show we have two guests and they're going to be potentially in different situations on draft night? You got a guy that everybody has talked about for a very long time in Rome Odunze. And now this awesome story that is unfolding that a bunch of people are getting to learn about, which is one of the fun things about football, which is so fantastic. By the way, you had mentioned that Rome was coming from a commercial. And I want you to know that you of all people should know what it's like coming into and out of commercials. I just saw your commercial with Dylan the other day on X. And so back and forth, listen, like, you know how a production shoot works. It's not like anyone's got to explain that to you and Dylan. It seems like she might be taking over as the Schefter on screen right now. She's all over the place.
Well, there's nothing that would give me greater pleasure than that. We shot a commercial through Sanofi as a spokesperson for Sanofi about raising awareness for people to be tested for type 1 diabetes. And it's a national campaign that we're a part of with Usher, with Robin Arzone, the Peloton instructor. And the whole idea is to encourage people to go get tested in advance for type 1 diabetes, to talk with their doctors, to get a blood test, to avoid some of the complications and issues that come along with being diagnosed with type 1 diabetes before it's too late, right? Let's go and get ahead of it. And so Dylan and I did a shoot together in Queens during her school break in February. And the cool part about it was the Dolphins long snapper Blake Ferguson was there. He's type 1 diabetic. And the Jaguars linebacker Chad Mumma was there. He also is type 1 diabetic. And so it was me, my wife, Dylan, these two type 1 diabetic football players who we have to get them on the podcast at some point, because my wife, who goes through an incredible number of challenges, we had many this weekend. You just never know when her sugars are going to act up, when she's going to get sick. It's just a battle all the time. And these guys play with type 1 diabetes. And my wife is so blown away by the fact that they could do that out on the football field. But that is what they do. They are incredible at it. They are true role models. And we had a chance to shoot a commercial with them, be part of a production. And Dylan, of course, crushed it. She outshone me. There's no scripts, but we sit down there and she's basically tutoring me on how to get this production done. So great job by my 15-year-old daughter, Dylan, as she continues to learn the craft and get reps and go through and embarrass me and show me up, Daniel Doubt. But I appreciate you asking about it. All right. One other thing to look forward to next week. We are scheduled to sit down with the Michigan quarterback, J.J. McCarthy, as he gets ready for the upcoming draft in Detroit. Now, when we will have spoken to him, he will have wrapped up his pre-draft visits with the Washington Commanders, with the New England Patriots, with the New York Giants, while also conducting private workouts for the Vikings, Broncos, and Giants. Those are the teams he's met with, spoken with, worked out for. So J.J. McCarthy, obviously a man of great interest as this draft in Detroit approaches, and he looms as one of the central storylines of this draft and where he winds up. He is scheduled to be our guest on this podcast next week, somebody that I've had the pleasure of getting to meet a few different times during the course of this past year at a golf tournament in Detroit, at the national championship game, at the combine. We root for J.J. McCarthy. We like J.J. McCarthy, and he will be our guest on this podcast next week. So until then, we want to thank our six-pack quarterback, Daniel Dopp. Thank you, Daniel. Appreciate that. I want to thank my great producers, Christina Buswell, Sarah Abbott. I want to thank the listener, and I want to thank this week's guests, Roma Dunze, Quantes Stiggers, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in to another episode of the Adam Schefter Podcast. Please join us again in this spot next week. Until then, have a great week, everybody. Be well and stay safe.